Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Himself, Pete, how the devil are you doing today?
I'm good. Still in my half-finished studio. Not even half-finished. Oh, what are you doing? He's on the webcam. He's waving a bottle of Costa coffee. Like he's king of coffees or something. Why have you switched from one black tarry looking liquid to another brand? You used to be Boss Coffee. Now you're banging into the Costa coffee. Is there sugar in that? Because that looks very unlikable.
I have no loyalty to any particular coffee brand, Pete. I've gone through Boss Coffee, the Tommy Lee Jones one. I had Tully's Coffee, and now Costa Coffee, the British coffee from London, as it says here, established London 1971. I've travelled to the other side of the planet for a Costa Coffee, a black Costa Coffee with no sugar. What have I become? It's good though, actually. I hate to say it, but I had a sip. It's been in the shelves for a few weeks now, and it's quite good. It tastes a bit like cold brew coffee, which is hard to find in a sort of canned or bottled form in Japan outside of Starbucks, and it's great.
Out of all of the British London-based coffee brands, I did not see Costa Coffee being the one that breaks through on the other side of the bloody world.
But taking the world by storm.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. I feel a bit guilty drinking it, but it tastes good, and that's all that matters.
Thing about there's Costa Coffee, and then there's, I think, Cafe Nero being, you know, fairly popular brands in Britain, and probably beyond as well, I suppose. But I can't remember which one sells these little kind of like little coffee beans wrapped in chocolate, and these boxes have been around for like what feels like 10 years, and no one ever buys them, and I don't know why they still sell them. They sell little mints in packets, little mints in tins. They sell Stroop waffles, and nobody ever buys these products, and they're always on the front of the counter, and I never understand why nobody ever buys any. There's always just the nobody ever picks any up.
I'm the man that buys the Stroop waffles. I'm the one of five people that buys the Stroop waffles.
Stroopy boy.
Sticks it over my hot coffee, lets it melt a little bit, and then bites into the sort of gooey caramel goodness of the Stroop waffles.
Yeah.
It's so bloody pricey though, isn't it? But do you even drink coffee? I never see you drink coffee. It's just alcohol.
That for one is besmirching my good, well, passable name. But yeah, no, I do drink coffee, but unlike you, I don't drink it at 7 o'clock at night. I have one, maybe two cups during the day, any more, and I'm Jeffrey Jitters, I'm afraid. I'm all
Jeffrey
jumpy.
Jitters. I mean, it's 8 p.m. here, and I'm going to pay the price for this. I couldn't sleep two nights ago because I stupidly had like a cup of coffee at 9 p.m. and then I tossed and turned for like 3 hours, and I don't know why I'm drinking this.
So silly.
What am I doing?
Honestly, I just worry for your soul. I worry for your body, and I worry for your psyche. This isn't good for you. All your dreams will be like these Technicolor kind of acrid abominations because of the amount of coffee you drink so late at night.
It's the secret to my success, Pete. That's why Abroad Japan is a top YouTube channel. It's the stupid amounts of coffee I consume before bed. We've got a story here from a chap called Justin.
Ooh.
From San Diego. And Justin begins, "Dear Carriaga Chicken King and Pouch Ice Cream Overlord Pete, my name's Justin from San Diego. The wife and I are frequent listeners of the podcast and fellow Japan enthusiasts, and we try to make annual trips to Japan. We have a lot of interesting stories, but here's the one that stands out for me. While staying in Asakusa in Tokyo, I was sitting enjoying some sushi and beer when I had two older gentlemen come and sit next to me and start talking to me. It was your standard, what brought you to Japan kind of conversation. At the end of my meal, one of the gentlemen insisted on paying for my food and beer, then requested that I join him and that he show me around the fine izakaya-packed side streets of Asakusa. Due to my love of beer and my highballs and delicious food, I agreed without a second thought. As we walked down the famous Hoppy Street of Asakusa, the gentleman was greeted by nearly every izakaya on the stretch, by both employees and the patrons. He seemed extremely well-liked and well-respected and made it a point to introduce me to everyone while explaining my upcoming journey to Tohoku in North Japan. During the span of my 3 hours, we hopped from izakaya to izakaya, drinking, demolishing karaoke, and enjoying good laughs with everyone who came over to say hi. I was having the time of my life, and unbeknownst to me, it was only the beginning. After our seemingly high-profile izakaya pub crawl, the man walked back to my hotel with me. Oh, God. When we arrived, he told me to wait a few moments as he booked a room and requested that I meet him back in the lobby in 2 hours. I reluctantly agreed. So 2 hours later, I headed down to the lobby once again to be greeted by the gentleman. He told me I would enjoy the next place he was taking me to. Oh, good God. Where's this going? We walked for about a mile until we reached this boisterous, well-lit building where I quickly realised he'd brought me to a maid cafe. Once inside, it was obvious they knew him and everyone came over to greet him and quickly seated us in the centre of the large establishment. The man's biggest desire was for me to meet every woman working that evening. Every 20 or 30 minutes, he would have the managers send over a different employee for me to talk to. Whiskey after whiskey, cigarette after cigarette. God, the conversation after conversation, I was feeling very catered to. I was having the best welcome to Japan moment I'd ever experienced. After several hours of testing my Japanese skills and destroying my liver, the gentleman asked me for the bill. I quickly pulled out my wallet as I peeked at the bill. And a whopping 100,000 yen came out. I pulled out 50,000 yen from my wallet as I thanked the man for the great experience, while he very directly declined my money. I insisted I pay half, but he refused profusely. He declined, almost angry that I wouldn't accept his omotenashi culture. Naturally, I had no say-so at this point and reluctantly gave in. After saying our thank yous and goodbyes, we drunkenly stumbled back to our hotel, then parted ways. After some respectful formalities and conversation. To this day, I've always wondered if he was just a very generous local or if he was some sort of secret Yakuza boss that was plotting my admission into the Yakuza. I hope you guys enjoyed my experience as much as I did. Keep up the amazing work. All the best, Justin. Best friend to the Yakuza. What do you make of that, Pete? Was it a generous man or a shady individual, but a polite individual nonetheless?
We can never know. And look, polite individuals who want to show foreigners guide you a good time can switch halfway through the night. There's free will in this world, and they at any point could switch from lovely drink purveyor to nightmare Yakuza boss.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've had so many stories of folks that have got, swindled out of their money. A friendly person on the streets of Shinjuku is like, oh, yeah, you want a free drink? Follow me, let's go. And then they're robbed and drugged, and it's horrible. But I think because he'd shown this guy, Justin, around like all of Asakusa, coming to the hotel and whatnot, it's pretty encouraging. He seemed like a nice bloke. Might not have been a Yakuza, but he definitely was. He definitely was.
he ran
all those places, didn't he? Protection racket and whatnot. But it's kind of a nice story, though. Like, that's nice. I don't think I've ever had that sort of encounter, except when I was in Nagano for New Year's once, my first year in Japan. I had a really nice guy. My friend Luke and I bumped into out front of a 7-Eleven called Tomohiro. And Tomohiro took us to like every bar in Nagano. We would never have found our way around them. We would never have found those dive bars. It was a really fun New Year's Eve getting drunk with Tomohiro and his friends in like a bar or two. So, yeah, I don't know. You got to take a risk once in a while. Just be careful. Take a calculated risk. For the love of God. This week, we've got a fax machine special, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe it's because in recent weeks, the Japanese government has tried to outlaw fax machines, and this is our way of saying, screw you, we love the fax machine. Or maybe it's because we don't have any news this week, and we've just been lazy. You decide, but into the fax machine. We've got a lot of stories from you guys that have been piling up. We want to answer and go through them all, basically. And we've got one from Jesse. Over to you, Pete. What's our first story of the question of the week?
Jesse. Get it together, Chris. Jesse says, hello, Christopher and Peter. I've become addicted to a YouTube channel where a British guy travels across various countries in a straight line. What a YouTube channel. I'd like to do something like that, and I read about the Yamanote Challenge. Essentially, you walk around the entire Yamanote line. I've taken that line a few times, but I'm not sure of the scale. How feasible is walking the entire Yamanote line, and will we see it in a future series called Journey Around Tokyo? Jesse, didn't I watch a video from a guy who may have emailed in after this?
Yeah.
It's talking about he was doing a similar sort of thing.
Japanese guy.
He was having a stroll around. Yeah, Japanese bloke. Yeah, it was
on a bicycle, I think. He cycled.
That's right. He was cycling it, and I think the bike might have died or something. But yeah,
he was very grateful for your shout out, if I recall. He emailed saying thank you, Pete. yeah, go on.
Yeah, sorry, Chris. I think thinking about it though, my favourite YouTube at the moment is the same one that was mentioned on alternative podcaster viewing, Trash Taste. Well, you were on it, Chris, where a guy goes around sort of the unlovable fast food shops of Northern England and sort of reviews them. Big fan of that guy. He's become quite the star. He's got no culinary reviewing expertise at all. He just eats the crappest of the crap food, Chinese chips and spring rolls. And he's going, that's right, good, that bloody lovely. And he's got nothing to say about the food. He just sits and jams his mouth full of very, very high fat food. So yeah. Maybe you could mix the two, Chris. Maybe you could eat every Moss burger on the Yamanote line or something.
Of all the places, not Moss burger. Yeah. I can't stand Moss burger. It's not good. People say it's good, and I pretended I liked it for a long time, but I just don't. I know. The chips are awful. The burgers take forever. They're always pipe. They make it fresh, right? But it's so fresh that you can't eat it for 25 minutes because it's so damn hot. It's like molten lead when it comes out of the oven. But yeah, I love rating my takeaway. It's funny how food channels, the most successful food channels, it's always someone who just isn't critical about the food. They turn up, they go, oh, chicken. I love chicken. Oh, it's so delicious, chicken. And that's it. But everyone loves it and watches it. It's something, I don't know why that is. I guess it's because people watch these videos when they're eating dinner, right? So they just want to see someone eat something nice. They don't want to see someone eat like a spaghetti filled with locusts or spaghetti filled with spiders. They want to see someone eat something nice.
They just want more food. Right, because they could be eating really pedestrian food in a really pedestrian place. And YouTubers and travel people, food channels are sort of showing you better food, you might want to eat instead.
Exactly. I don't know. But I think it's nice. I'd love to walk around the Yamanote line. I've been to, I'd say, 3/4 of the stops on the Yamanote line. Mm. And a lot of them are just in the middle of nowhere in Tokyo. But if there was some sort of challenge component you could do while you were walking around it could be kind of fun. Like speak to a local at every station. Actually, that'd take a very long time. Screw that. We got one here from Mikhail from Delhi. Hello, Pete and Dave. I'm Mikhail from New Delhi. And I think I found Pete Donaldson's doppelganger attached below. One day, while I was randomly scrolling through Facebook at 3 a.m., I found this guy who seems to be making cooking videos and has 1.5 million followers on Facebook. The name of the dude is Joshua Weissman. I feel if Pete magically makes his face a little bit chubby, grows his hair, and with his Colonel Sanders beard, they would look completely the same. Perhaps they could even swap places where Pete makes cooking videos and Joshua is the co-founder of a podcast company. Keep up the good work, guys. Mikhail from Delhi. And the guy does look eerily like Pete Donaldson, but slightly chubbier and with longer hair. Joshua Weissman, Weissman. Look him up. It is frighteningly similar.
Oh,
do you not disagree, Pete?
He's a lad, and I do get this look like a hell of a lot. I mean, he's got 1.5 million followers on Twitter. He's incredibly successful, and he must be gutted that he resembles a 40-year-old man. He must be gutted, but he's made his choices. I believe reading up on him, because I do get this look like quite a lot. Reading up on him, he's a lad who I think was slightly overweight when he was sort of like coming out of being a teenager and decided to get trim, work out. Eats better, and that's kind of his journey, making like delicious, but rather healthy versions of some of the best food in the world. And so he seems very talented, incredibly charismatic American chap, I think, or is he Aussie? I can't remember. Either way, he's basically grown out with his hair. He looks a bit like me, and he's chosen those sort of NHS glasses that I've also gone for. So he's let himself down there because he's only 23, 24, and he looks like a 40-year-old man from the northeast of England, not the healthiest part of the world. So unlucky, Josh. Joshua, maybe you could, with your 1.5 million followers, maybe employ some kind of stylist to sort your look out.
I think he looks rather dashing. His hair looks like a lion's mane. I love it. It's like a lion. We've got one here from David from LA. I'll hand that over to you while I sit.
All right, then, David from LA. Good day, lads. You've got dregs. You've got dregs of Costa Coffee. It looks so gross. Nothing worse than dregs of cold black coffee. Ugh. Right. Huge fan of the podcast and YouTube channel. Chris, I thoroughly enjoyed your video where you travel to the most northern point of Japan with your American buddy, Pete. I hope to make the same voyage myself when I'm allowed to get back in Japan. During the video, Pete made a comment about traveling to the most southern part of Japan. I did a bit of Googling, and Japan's most southern point is on Hatteruma Island in Okinawa. Would you consider making a video where you visit this island with Pete? Either one, presumably. I think it would make a great series. Given you don't have a lot of videos in Okinawa, take care, lads. David from Los Angeles. I've seen you in your pants in the beach, on the beach in Okinawa, I believe, looking at crabs and stuff. I think that's what you look up to.
Looking at crabs. I went to Okinawa in 2016 for the first and last time, and it was a nice place. I really liked it. I went with some other YouTubers, Rachel and Jin, and think they were the only ones that were good. Yeah, Chris Ockenham was all right. But I remember having a nice romantic stroll with Jin along the beach. And we had a lovely little quiet stroll. And then when I brought up with him 3 months later, I said, Jin, remember that lovely stroll? He went, no, I don't remember. I was like, oh, thanks, Jin.
Didn't mean anything to him.
I felt like I'd been in a relationship that I was the only one that cared. But Okinawa's lovely. We'd love to go back. And I do think I would like to go to the most southern point in Japan. It would be very poetic, wouldn't it? Going in with the most northern video. And Pete, I love American Pete. British Pete's all right too. But American Pete, I'd love to go with him. I think he's got like a broken periscope from Okinawa. So we can go and like find it and repair it by the one man in Okinawa.
Why has he got a periscope?
He's got everything. Well, he had a mug from Natsuki that he smashed, and we went to go and find that. And he's a very wacky individual. But he's got a great podcast. A great Twitch channel. You go and check him out. Premier 2 on Twitch. Premier 2.
Where did these people get these names from? All like the most popular streamers have very forgettable handles on Twitch. I never understand why they've got away with it.
I know, right? I mean, I've been lecturing him for months to try and change it, but he just doesn't want to. He just loves Premier 2. Ridiculous. But anyway, he's a good bloke. Check him out. We've got one here from Yana. It says, hi, Chris and Pete. Konnichiwa. My name's Yana, and this is Germany Calling. My boyfriend and I have been studying Japanese for 2.5 years now. Initially, we were only looking for a language we both found interesting so we could attend a language course together. But soon we became more and more enthusiastic about Japan. We planned to spend our holiday there in 2020. Well, that obviously didn't happen. In the meantime, we luckily found the Abroad Japan channel, which keeps us especially happy. My question for you guys is, as Pete is not only England's top Japan enthusiast, but also one of England's top sports enthusiasts, I was wondering what your thoughts, Pete, are on the Euro 2020 and English fan attitudes. Oh, God. Well, we all saw what happened on the news. England fans trashing Leicester Square. Yana continues, when watching England matches, I found myself irritated by the fans booing not only their opponents when going after the ball, but also in the beginning. And they seem very rude. What do you make of it? And Chris, learning about life in Japan, I was baffled to find out that every single item you can buy in, is wrapped in plastic, then put in another plastic bag, and so on. In Europe, plastic bags are banned entirely from shops, and there are general awareness of waste pollution, environmental-friendly behaviour. I was wondering if this is a topic in Japan at all. Are there any movements, political agendas, or campaigns for sustainable and environmentally friendly ways of living? Many thanks, guys. Ja Matane from Germany. Jana. A lot of things to unpack there. any thoughts on British people and English football fans.
On English
favorite.
Football fans. Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're recording this a few days after England did cover themselves in glory, in my opinion. Did a wonderful, you know, took the best team in the competition to penalties and you know had a lovely time, and I've really really cherished this competition. Mm. I love England. I think their players are progressive. It is refreshing to see young men who are willing to understand the scale of their influence. And I think every last one of that squad have been magnificent and important. And there's very few footballers who have been important in history, from Marcus Rashford to like Tyrone Mings this morning coming out and criticising Priti Patel, the front secretary. Home secretary? What is she? Mm. Whatever she is, she's a nightmare. but yeah, the sad thing is, and something that England has always been plagued by is the I would say away England support. People who go and watch England away, they, for me, it's an extension of some very unseemly and unpalatable London-based hooligans and racists and xenophobes. Mm-hmm. And I think we got a taste of what other countries get a taste of when they see England abroad, effectively. You know, it was like an England away day, but it was in Leicester Square. It was like England away day but it all comes from the top for me. It's this kind of right-wing culture war where they pit minorities against white people, effectively, in order to gain votes. All right, you'll get your votes. You'll get another few years in power, but you won't have much of a country left after it, because people will be tearing it up because you're fascists, effectively. So it's difficult. It starts at the top. I think also a lot of the hooliganism, and something you didn't necessarily get in the 90s and the 80s, it's not just confined to England. Let's make that very clear. But the hooliganism you sort of see around now, it's very performative, isn't it? It's doing it for the gram. It's doing it for the excitement of sort of going, look at what I'm doing. And I don't know what's happened to football fans lately. I'm not going to say they're not football fans. They are football fans. That they take things very personally when their football team lose. When a black player does something they don't like, they take that very personally, and they sort of say, "I can't believe you've done that to me. I can't believe you've done that to me." Right. And the insults and the abuse are escalated further than you would usually go. And it's not right. And there's a certain role that I think drugs play in modern football support as well. A lot of cocaine flying around. A lot of people just, you know, banging lines of it while they're at the football, and it creates you know, horrific problems for stewards and people alike. So it's been a terrible tournament for English people who love their side. But you know, I cannot fault the performance of the manager, Gareth Southgate, and his team. I think they've been absolutely wonderful. But yeah, England fans there's always been an element, but you know, it has been accentuated by a little bit of success, a lot of cocaine, and a culture war perpetrated by the Tories in power, unfortunately. So yeah.
I mean, I haven't really been up to speed on things that have been going on. I mean, I saw the footage of Leicester Square being destroyed for literally no reason, and it made me very angry and disappointed. And it's a shame that there's so many extreme England fans. I saw someone shone a laser in the eye of a goalkeeper in a game. I think it was against Denmark, right, last week.
Yeah, I mean, that happens a lot in South America, to be honest. This isn't a purely English problem. It's Leo Messi's had a couple of lasers in his face in his time and stuff. It does occasionally happen. It's pretty stupid. I think football fans and fans in general just think that the authorities are so toothless. You know, clubs have people doing Nazi salutes and doing monkey noises at black players, and they get fined a couple of hundred euros, and there's no punitive measures at all, really. So they know they can get away with being absolute nightmare men. They know they can get away with this sort of thing, you know, rushing the barriers at Wembley, because there's no infrastructure to hold anyone to account, because the football authorities are so bloody toothless.
It's been a real downer on an otherwise impressive
it really
feat
has.
Of England getting to the finals. And
yeah,
a lot of my friends really have been talking about it. A lot of my friends have been talking about it. I'm not that big on football, but I did keep an eye on, keep watching and seeing what was happening. But yeah, a real shame, to be honest, but a very poignant, some very poignant thoughts there from Pete. I feel like when you talk about football, it's like we've got a samurai on this podcast and we've put a sword in his hand and let him finally go to town. We're unleashing the power of Pete Donaldson, one of the
most foremost football commentators. Anywhere well, else, you
you're
know
one of the top
badly researched. Yeah, it's slow, ponderous, confused.
Well, you're one of the top football commentators in the UK.
Of course, yeah.
But we never exploit that, and now we have. Thank you, Yara. We've opened Pandora's box of Pete. Yeah. That is Pete Donaldson. But very thoughtful insight there. Nice work, Pete. I don't think I can follow that up. My second question was about carrier bags. It's a political. It's all political with carrier bags. But like, no, I don't know. In Japan, yeah, not very good. They do wrap up like bananas. They single wrap bananas in a bag, and I don't know why they do that. And yes, they are bad. They recycle everything here, but they do also wrap things up a lot. And only in the last year have they made carrier bags something you have to pay for. Like the rest of the world. So they're catching up. But yeah, Japan just
they're very
just
good at
care.
Separating recycling, though. They're obsessive with what you can put in bags. And, you know, you go to an Airbnb and the Airbnb person will literally go, look, do not even bother trying to recycle because it's so complicated. There is 15 different kinds of plastic, 15 different kinds of paper, and it all needs to be separated into separate bins.
Yeah, I mean, when I say Japan doesn't care a minute ago, I was meant more like gift wrapping and using wrapping. They certainly care when it comes to recycling. You know, I have to separate everything into like 400 bins every day, and I'd be lying if I said I enjoyed it, but doing my part for the world. But I also buy the single wrapped bananas, so I'm also a villain. I'm very evil. We're trying to destroy.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/Japan.
Join me, Jaguar, the host of BBC Introducing Dance on Radio 1 for my brand new podcast, Utopia Talks. It's a reactive platform to discuss issues that my generation care about in dance music culture and the wider world. I'll be talking to some of the biggest names in dance music, including people like Heidi.
The lineups do not need to be 99% male-driven. Mm. There's all these interesting new producers and women that are coming through, you know, all sorts. Yeah. It's like women are speaking out now.
And the sensational Bless Madonna.
I feel like literally my entire life has led up to this. This is the first event we've had like this, not just in the UK, but really in the Western Hemisphere. And to be able to be here with all of these people who are so happy is just absolutely the biggest, highest joy of my life.
As well as having the meaty conversations I often have with friends that I'd love you to join in with.
There's so much new energy coming out of the pandemic, and there's so many like new nights and festivals, and everyone's really pushing for this new structure where people genuinely don't feel anxious about coming to a club night because of the way they look or the way they dress. It's more about everyone in.
To me, Utopia is a perfect moment. It's togetherness. It's the future. I want to live in a more inclusive, equal world, and I hope this podcast will build a community and help create change. Subscribe now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. New episodes dropping every Wednesday. Welcome to Utopia Talks.
Utopia Talks is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
We've got one here from Anne. She says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. I'm sending my second message to the fax machine today." Second message? That's just greedy. Last time, Chris mispronounced my name. Oh, that's really odd. Anne, it must be Anne. It's spelled A-N-A-I-S. Anne, right?
Come on. She sent the katakana version.
Oh, there's an S in there in the end. Okay, yeah. I've said it wrong. So, and they continues. "It's okay, Chris said my name wrong. I've never met an English speaker who can pronounce it correctly. I'll help you this time using katakana. It is Anaise. Anaise.
Anaise.
It's a nice name, isn't it? Oh. Today, I have a question about radio media in general in Japan. I used to be a top Belgium radio DJ before moving to Japan." Wow. Pete Donaldson's rival. But in Belgium, when I moved to Japan, people asked me where I used to work and I would answer a local radio station. Their answer was always the same, "Sugoi, incredible." But when I asked if they listened to the radio, they said no, because you can watch the TV in your car in Japan. Who needs the radio? Good point. So my question for Chris is, how do you think Japanese people consume radio and television? Is it still a thing for younger generations, or do they prefer YouTube or Nickel Nickel? Another one for Pete. Pete, who is listening to us? The radio people. I worked 6 years on radio stations across Belgium, and I don't know who my listeners are. When I asked around, nobody's really interested in radio, but I can still see the number of listeners going up every day on my broadcasting software. Who are these people? Thank you for the podcast, guys. It keeps me busy while I'm commuting every day to Japanese school. Keep it up. Anaise from Belgium. In Yokohama.
Sounds like
who's
a,
listening to
sounds
me?
Like a broadcasting software bug. It's just the integers just going up up. Oh no. Yeah, I mean, the way, I don't know how radio is calculated, or radio listening figures are calculated in Belgium, but certainly the thing that always made me bloody howl in England, very antiquated system in England. We literally, to everyone who's in the census, everyone who's on the electoral roll, we send out the governing body, Radjar. They send out diaries to select few. So for every 1,000 person, for every 1,000 people, one person will get one diary, and they're expected to fill it in about their radio habits for the week, and, you know, tell people what they've been listening to, who they've been listening to, who they prefer. And this gets extrapolated out. So for every one person, that means 1,000 people. So it gets extrapolated out. The only problem is, like, who can be asked to fill out a radio diary? Who can mail it back? You get little stickers you put on next to people's names and the times and the radio stations and stuff. And Yeah, it's a really antiquated and old school way of doing things, but it's been that way for such a long time. And with each new kind of like technological iteration, like it's never got more accurate. Online, obviously, you've got access to your own servers. You kind of know who's listening and where they're listening and the demographic and stuff. So obviously those listens are a little bit more valuable because you kind of know their demographic, you know where they are and you can serve ads that kind of fit their bills a little bit more. But yeah, I always find it very funny that we've got such an old school radio diary operator. You know, people lose their jobs when their listening figures go down. And it could just be as simple as one person not filling in one diary correctly about their listening habits. It's so weird. So yeah, when I'm in Japan and I tell people I'm a radio no DJ, I don't think they really know what it is, to be honest.
I mean, I think it was a good move to get out of radio. I think the end of radio is nigh, because the whole listening to songs that you don't really want to listen to, it just feels a bit outdated now. Like the radio stations I listen to are just a guy talking or a woman talking about something and giving political insight or insight on something. And that's why podcasts are sort of taking over, I think. I think radio is on its way out. And yeah, in Japan, though, everywhere has a TV in the corner. Like every small mum and pop restaurant or cafe has a TV running in the corner. It's very rarely radio. The last time I heard a radio was in a taxi. Last week, he was playing jazz music. It was all rather cool. I felt like I was in a film. Oh, nice. I got in the car and it was like, I thought I was like a shady secret agent film from the 1960s.
Bullet or something, yeah. I like the fact that, it would be really funny if there was public access television in Japan. Where's the ordinary man on the street going to get his kind of Wayne's World style show? I would love, because you know how eccentric the Japanese are at times, and that's why we love the country. But I would love to sort of see public access Natsuki on TV bollocks, where he's at to film it himself.
To be fair, that's what Japanese YouTube is. There's a lot of wacky people on YouTube Japan. I'd be lying if I said I watched any of them, but there are quite a lot of wacky characters on Japan's YouTube sort of community. It's a very interesting community, and so it's a good rabbit hole to go down. Yeah. You never know what you're going to find there. But radio, I think its days are numbered, sadly. That is all we've got time for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to BornJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later this week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out in the big wide world, enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll see you then to do it all over again. The Born Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.